My name is Keely Kinsey and I'm a proud Indigenous woman of the Wathaurong tribe. On behalf of the Call It Out podcast, we would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land we meet upon today, the Wathaurong people of the Kulin Nation. We would like to pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging and acknowledge the sovereignty was never ceded. The Call It Out podcast acknowledges the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognises a continuing connection to lands, waterways and communities.
Call It Out is a podcast led by students from Sacred Heart College and St. Joseph's College in Geelong. Listening through the lens of young people, the podcast episodes are an insightful journey into contemporary issues impacting them, discussing the themes such as gender equality, unhealthy masculinity, everyday sexism, healthy relationships and consent. We are given an intimate invitation into what young people think.
Three, two, one.
I'd like to welcome Liberating Education Touchstone Prefect Liam Allsop and Brophy House Leader Mr. Matthew Walsh.
Alrighty, so first of all, welcome Mr. Walsh to the Call Out podcast. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me, Liam.
Man box, what would that term sort of mean to you?
The man box to me is a set of beliefs within and across society that place pressure on men to be a certain way. Things like being tough, not to show any emotions, be the breadwinner, to always being in control, and sometimes using violence to solve problems. Some of these beliefs, such as condoning the use of violence, are always wrong. Others, such as acting strong, however, can sometimes be useful, but other times lead to problems. And I feel the man box is alive and well in Australia. The majority of young men feel there are social pressures on them to behave or act a certain way because of their gender. I've actually done a bit of research around the man box, and the majority of young men surveyed disagreed with the man box beliefs, but there is still a large number who agree with some of the beliefs that make up the man box, including being strong, not showing vulnerability, always being in control, and being the primary providers at home.
Yeah, perfect. That's exactly what it means. I think it's, as young men, you're pressured to sort of, it depends on what environment you're growing up as, but if you're in that sporting environment, you seem to be that big and strong. You don't show emotion. You don't show vulnerability. You got to try to be better than everyone else, whereas it doesn't have to actually be like that. It shouldn't be like that.
Yeah, that's right. And I think a lot of the young men, obviously we're at an all-boys school, and a lot of us have been involved in footy clubs. Mm. There's that unhealthy masculinity at a lot of those clubs. Where a lot of these boys and young men try and live up to people that they're actually not. And a part of that, to me, is part of the mob mentality problem, where a lot of these young men one-on-one are fantastic. Mm. But you get them around their mates and they feed off one another, and that unhealthy masculinity really thrives in those types of environments.
Yeah, in a group, it's definitely more effective. And it can be seen more in the man box, pressuring younger people in bigger groups rather than individuals. Have you had any experiences in your life where you felt sort of the pressures and been blocked by the constraints of the man box?
Yeah, look, my father was old school. In a way, he brought me and my two brothers up. He used to use a lot of language like, you'll be right, tough it up, man up, all those types of things. And look, at the time, I didn't necessarily think it was a bad thing, as I feel it helped me mould me into the person I am today. You know, I'm a confident person and a very resilient person and bounce back. But at the same time, although my dad used a lot of that negative language, he was also very caring and compassionate, and I feel I exude those qualities also. I've been lucky enough to play in senior football for over half my life, and as I was touched on earlier, the footy clubs, there's plenty of that unhealthy masculinity, and you see plenty of young men who try and be someone that they're not. To be sure, I wasn't influenced in the negative way and got caught up in that unhealthy masculinity. I made sure I associated myself with those who held the same morals and values as I did. there's always within a footy club that there's groups of young men, and I just made sure I aligned myself with those who were going to bring out the best in me. So I made a conscious choice to disassociate myself. Although on the footy field, you know, we were teammates and we'd have each other's back. Off the field, I really didn't do much with them, because they didn't align with my morals and values. But look, obviously, you know, at an all boys school also, you see a lot of it occur, and particularly in the schoolyard, and dealing with situations involving young men. I know we pigeonhole certain people in a way. For example, I know I'm a PE teacher. I had a colleague of mine who works at the school actually say to me once she got to know me that she pigeonholed me into that unhealthy masculinity. Mm. She thought I was a macho man, but actually once she got to know me, she found I was caring and compassionate and actually a good person. You can't judge a book by its cover, obviously, but I just think, as I touched on it, it is alive and well, but I think we're much more aware of the issues surrounding it these days.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's more seen now. Like back in the old days, it used to be just don't be a girl was a big saying, which is horrible. And like it was, don't cry, don't show emotions. Now, if I'm corrected, you had a moment in year 9, was it, when you threw an orange or something, and it made you realize I need to change my group and stop this toxic masculinity and get out of it, or unhealthy masculinity.
You've got a good memory, Liam. Back in back in year 9 that I was associating myself with people who didn't bring out the best of me. And one day at school, the group of young men I was socialising with encouraged me to throw an orange at a student who was walking across the oval. And I threw the orange and hit this poor fella in the head, which resulted in an ambulance coming to school. And Dad sat me down, and like I touched on earlier, he used to say toughen up and man up and those types of things. But I remember that conversation vividly, and he said that, Matt, your future's in your friends, and you're associating with a bunch of people who are idiots, and that's what you've become. And he said, you can continue down this path or you can make a change and start associating with those people who are going to bring out the best in you. And thankfully, I did change my ways and I changed my friendship groups. It was hard. It was a long process. But we eventually got there, and that was a bit of a fork in the road for me, sliding doors moment in my life. And I'm not sure where I'd be if I kept heading down the path that I was going on. But I think that the most important thing to take out of this is you can change.
Yeah.
You don't have to stay with that group who's not bringing out the best in you. And, you know, he's really portraying that unhealthy masculinity. It's a story that's still vivid in my mind today.
That stuck with me.
I'm glad you remember that too.
Yeah. I just remember that sitting in year 9 and you just came and you were within the library and you just spoke to us about that, and I just thought, oh, it really stuck with me how the people you associate yourself with can bring out the best or either the worst in you. And just bringing back to the man box, would you say, like, can you speak about the impact of male role models in that lives in younger men?
Yeah, obviously with male role models, it starts in early childhood. Mm. Having a strong figure of support and guidance increase our ability to form trust in relationships and build our capacity to interact positively with others. When boys grow up, they require a father figure in their life, and this has been found to contribute positively to their academic and social development. And children who bond with their fathers or father figures from an early age are better problem solvers, have better cognitive skills, are better performance at school, and usually puts them over an advantage to those who don't have those role models in their life. If I talk about my personal role models, although, you know, particularly when I was younger, we butted heads a lot, but my dad, he was hard, but he was fair on me. I think he moulded myself and my two brothers into positive contributors to society, and men with strong morals and values. And I keep touching on morals and values because often they're instilled at home. And I also think, you know, we talk about role models. Not only was my family or my father a big role model for me, but obviously my friends also, the social circles that I spent time with over the years. You know, none of those boys displayed that unhealthy masculinity we were respectful towards women. We wouldn't. There was no violence in our lives. Like, I can honestly say, I've never been in a fight in my life. I try and avoid those types of situations because that's not who I am as a person.
Which is good.
But you know, all these factors can be linked to a lack of to those boys who or young men who have issues, and a lot of it can be linked to a lack of positive male role models throughout their lives.
Yeah, and you can see like people who don't grow up with those positive role models, they can go down those bad paths, and they don't know what's right and wrong, and what might be right to them might traditionally not be right in a way. It might be actually wrong. Yeah. It's just important whoever's just leading them and teaching them the skills and values. So we're breaking down the main box now will be good for future generations to become, because they'll learn, like, yes, you can show emotions. No, you don't have to be strong. You can don't always have to be the best. But it's just all about breaking down the man box now, so that's coming up for future generations to come through.
Yeah, it's a good point. And I think those role models often, when someone does step out of line, they pull them back into line and just remind them of the expectations and norms of society, and how we've really moved away from that unhealthy masculinity that was prevalent only, you know, 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we touched on it just then, actually. Do you reckon we're progressing in a healthy direction from these ideas of the man box? Do you reckon we're moving away from it, and now we're starting to get away from, you don't have to be strong, you can show emotion, you can be vulnerable? Do you reckon we're moving towards a better spot for men in life, really?
Yeah, I just think as a whole, society is far more aware of this behaviour. And I think the majority of males adopt healthy male stereotypes. Unfortunately, it is still, you know, prevalent in society, and I think there's always going to be a minority who adopt that unhealthy masculinity. But I think the majority, and I always like to focus on the positives, are out there doing the right thing. And I think through my experience in dealing with young men, I just jotted down a few points about unhealthy masculinity. And my first point was, stop trying to be someone that you're not. That's really important. And I think, as we touched on before, particularly in that mob mentality, that young men are trying to be someone who they're not, and they're, you know, they feed off one another, and they there's aggression and toughness and dominance within that group. And I think that's a big player. Another one is learning to be vulnerable.
Yeah,
being in touch with your emotions and not being afraid to show your emotional side. I know, you know, speaking to the Brophy cohort, I think I've broken down in tears a number of times in front of you. And that's just me. That's who I am as a person. I'm not trying to be up there, be macho man and be brave. It's, hey, you know, I've had some difficult situations in my life, and I want to share my experience with you boys, so hopefully you can take something from it and learn from it. So I'm not afraid to show my vulnerability. Educating other males and leading by example. He's saying that I try and adopt and share my experiences and just, I think, just in a schoolyard, you know, little things like picking up rubbish, and if there's a little fella by himself, going over and tap on the shoulder and ask if he's okay. That's how I try and lead by example. And I think the biggest one that I really promote amongst the cohort here at Joey's is intervene when you see something wrong.
Yeah, bystander, stop it.
Do not be a bystander. Yeah. If you are a bystander and you see something wrong, and you don't do anything, you're accepting that behaviour.
You're contributing to it.
Yep, you're saying it's okay. So you need to make your voice loud and say that you won't stand for it anymore.
Yeah, that bystander is very important, I reckon. Because when they're in a group, they want to stand out, but they don't want to stand out away from the group. Like, they'll stand out being the one who's the biggest and the strongest, but they're standing out against them if they're saying, oh, yeah, do that. But if you're saying no, then you're looked at as like, oh, what are you doing? Like, why are you here? Like, you just don't – they want to stand out in a positive way, not a negative way from the group. Yeah, it just sends back to the group and mob mentality.
That's right. I think I shared with you boys, I was called out probably about 20 years ago with a group of mates. We were out having a couple of drinks, and one of my mates, we were all drinking beer, and he grabbed a vodka cruiser. And when he came back into the group, I made a homophobic slur, which I won't say, but one of my mates actually pulled me aside and said, hey, that's not cool. We don't use that type of language. And that was... Although I wasn't adopting those unhealthy masculinity behaviours, it was just an error of judgment, and I got called out for it straight away. And that was really powerful. I apologised and said, oh, sorry, I didn't realise. And he just said, look, just be mindful of your language moving forward. And that's something I've definitely done.
Well, from him coming out and saying that to you, it shows how people can learn if you come out and you don't be a bystander and you're able to actually call it out, how it actually stops it one person at a time. And that's the way that I think we can move away from negative man box and stereotypes.
Yeah, and look, if they're your real mates, you calling them out, it's going to be water off a duck's back.
Exactly.
They're not going to hang up. Yeah, exactly.
Hold it on. Yeah, exactly. Well, perfect. Thank you for coming. That was great. I think you have some great perspectives and I think you know how we should move forward as a leader here at Joey's. Thank you.
Thanks, Liam. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
I'd now like to welcome Matteo Bove, our Deputy College Captain, and Mr. Mark Kennedy, our Deputy Principal of Wellbeing.
Welcome here today, Mr. Kennedy, to the Call It Out podcast, where we speak about the typical unhealthy masculinity in the day-to-day society. What does the term man box or stereotypical masculinity traits actually mean to you?
Well, thanks, Matteo, for having me. It's really nice to be part of an initiative to hopefully, help people's understanding of what it is to be a good man. And I think I was talking to you off air a little bit about how I don't think it's anything we can ever be content on, and that I don't think there is the perfect man out there, and it's really important that we acknowledge kind of who we are, where we've come from, but really importantly where we want to go. And I think life experiences and education help us all with that. So I do know a little bit about the man box and the study. Sort of helped the school maybe work with the program, the Jesuits, in year 9. And what my basic understanding is that if we are trapped inside the man box, we are all restricted to be a certain type of man that once we all thought we needed to be. And that can come from our dads, maybe the generation above us. And it might be some traits about, a real bloke doesn't cry, and a real bloke, plays sport, and a real bloke has plenty of girlfriends, and a real bloke's real popular, and a real bloke's never fussed by anything. And I think we all understand that that a real bloke doesn't conform to all of those sorts of things, and doesn't necessarily need to be inside a box and can smash open those boundaries and really share who they really are. And I think many of us throughout our lives have probably craved just to be understand who we are and then be appreciated for who we are, and that isn't defined by those things that I just mentioned before.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Mr. Kennedy. Have you ever had any experiences during your life where you've been blocked by the constraints of the man box?
Probably. I had a pretty privileged upbringing and life, I reckon. And I was probably born with in a pretty caring family on a farm. So we were raised to be pretty resilient. We were raised to have certain views on things a little bit too, that was probably that unbiased opinions of your parents or of your dad. And I believe at the time, and I was someone that did pretty, I shared a lot. Actually, my parents used to say, don't share this at school, Mark, especially Mark, because I was probably pretty extroverted. And I did listen in to the parents talking, and growing up in a small country community and those types of things, there was those sorts of things not to share and those types. But also, Mum and Dad had a lot of confidence in us to talk openly about things. But obviously, talk about political parties and religion and views on sport and what's in the newspaper or media and all that sort of stuff, I probably always took Dad's view. And so I don't think I was restricted, but I look back and I feel like I was probably persuaded in that unbiased, unconscious way maybe to think certain things. But I probably did have differences of opinion back then, but maybe not voiced it to Dad or my parents or family or people in power. But what I've loved about getting into education and into leadership and my dad especially, and he's a really key mentor in my life, has really appreciated my viewpoints. I get a little emotional talking about that because we often share, and I've seen him shift in his, you know, 73, shift in his viewpoints and has liked speaking to me about my viewpoints and what young people are getting educated on. And I think that's a sign of people can always shift their points of view on certain things that are really passionate to them.
Yeah, that's great. In terms of society today, what impacts do you think male influences have on the lives of the younger men?
Well, you're year 12 next year, and I remember being a year 12, and I remember thinking when I was year 7, I looked up to the year 12s, but when you're year 12, you don't think anyone looks up to you. You don't think they do, but they do. And so sometimes you don't know what influence, what power you actually have, but you need to be reminded of that. I know I've been blessed here in a leadership position at St Joseph's College as a deputy principal overseeing wellbeing. You know, I take all of this really seriously, not just because it's my job, because it's really important too. So I do know I have influence, or I could have influence, and I could have that in a positive or negative way, and I try and have... you know, with the programs we teach with people in certain positions of leadership around the school, the way in which we conduct our behaviour management and programs and culture. So probably got off topic a little bit, but I feel like we all have capacity to help shift people's mindset on a bit of, you know, their thoughts and opinions about masculinity, and there's a way of doing that without, it's really tricky, without turning people off. And I reckon young blokes can get sick of being told what to do and how to do it. And so sometimes talking about it is one thing, but just modelling it is another thing. And I hopefully, you know, with the people you've been interviewing, a just usual snapshot of some men that are on our staff that hopefully that younger males, younger people in our community look up to and may, base themselves off some of their traits.
Yeah, for sure. In terms of the direction that we're heading, do you think we're progressing in a healthy direction away from the ideas of the typical macho man, as some may say?
I hope so. I know we're up against it because social media and certain influences can come in and really dominate and persuade and pull people into some alternative views than what we've got. And I think we're still up against it in the terms of generational change. So in terms of students that we have here at St Joseph's, it's really hard to change a viewpoint or ideals around this area if it's been drilled in from home. So I think it's really important to engage young people. It's important to engage families in on the education that we do and why. But I do think we are making some good change. I went to an all-boys school in Ballarat, St Pat's, and I actually moved away to Cairns for 11 years, so I didn't see everyone very, very much, but I had a good core group of friends. But since I've been back the last 7 years, I've gone on 7 golf trips. That's an annual golf trip, about 12 of us, and we catch up. And coming into St Joseph's and what we push here and teach about respect for women, and, you know, even the way we celebrate International Women's Day, women in sport, you know, those types of things. I'd go on these golf trips and I'd have, you know, know, the conversations would be slamming it because it was sort of started when AFL were thinking about bringing in. This is just one example. And that's really tough when you're sitting around and you've got everyone with a certain viewpoint, and they all varied. And I'm not necessarily the type that would jump up and down and say, that's ridiculous, stop thinking that. But, you know, I think as the years have gone on, I've been quite pleased that some of their viewpoints are changing and shifting, and for the right reasons. And then we've all become parents in this time as well. And I've got four daughters, and so is another player on the golf trip. And it's interesting. It's nearly like they've either got all boys or all girls, and it ends up a little bit of a war. Not a war, but a few jokes about that. But I feel like, I use those golf trips as a bit of a barometer in terms of viewpoints on those types of things. On one trip, we'd got back, and there'd been a couple of stops at a pub, and one of the my friends got up, and he'd been a police officer and a firefighter, and he got up and spoke about the importance of mental health and said, you know, I've actually done it tough the last few years, and we all made a pact that we support each other, and he got a big clap at the end, and it sort of brought on more conversations about those sort of things. And then, yeah, off to the side, people come up and sort of talk about what's your point of view on this, you know, without it needing to be in front of everybody. And some people sort of, because I'd probably cop it in front, you don't have to be politically correct all the time, Kennedy, you know, if you do put your points of view forward. But so when I think about young people, so I think there's progression, and now I'm using my mates as a bit of a data plot there. So I'm sort of proud of them. And I think then them as parents are edging towards, you know, growing their kids up. So I think good stuff will happen in the future, but we're still up against it. And I often think then if that's how you guys are at school and someone's saying or doing something inappropriate, just probably how important it is to call it out. And maybe if that's the culture that we have, you're just more empowered to feel like you're going to be supported by even that person you're calling it out to. I think they will respect you for it.
Yeah.
But if it isn't calling it out, like loud and proud, bang, then there are other ways of doing it, which I've kind of just mentioned as into trips that I go on and those types of things. People come out for one-on-one chats and just modelling the right ways of saying it, or, you know, not joining in.
Yeah. You said you had four daughters. Do you think you'd say that spending more time with just women as a whole makes you use less of those typical masculine traits?
I think it's important I think it's important to use your man traits. I think it's important to be a man. I think it's important to, not try and be someone and do things that you don't want to do. It just depends on what they are. But I feel like having four daughters, and I was, you know, when I started uni, I was at Aquinas, which was teachers and nurses, so there was only a few of us guys there, and my close friends were all girls. And then start teaching in primary school, which was very female dominated, so I kind of always really enjoyed, because I missed it during the all boys school experience, I kind of really enjoyed the flip side to that. So I don't know if I'm answering the question, but I feel like I'm wanting to be a dad of girls that aren't putting girls in the girl box, and language is really important here, but I know we're talking about the man box, but I'm not wanting to ever have the girl stereotyped as being needing to be a type of girl, and that's also about emotions and expressing themselves and those types of things. And so yeah, my daughters are 8, 6, 4, and 1.5, so it's all hard work, but already starting to have some really good conversations about that. And they know that we do a lot of the respect for relationships things at school, because I think it's important to talk to them from a young age. So, important for all of us to not be stereotyped in a certain way. And I think it's just about finding who you are and then loving who you are and appreciating other people.
Yeah, that's great. And finally, when we see unhealthy masculinity in society, what do we do at the moment, would you say?
probably I cringe. And there's, you know, there's things that we see it that's that can happen in our schools, but in society, whether it's when there's just too many in the one area, whether it's alcohol inflicted, whether it's sport or something fueled by passion that's gone too far. So I think it's understanding what's too far and what's not enough, and I just think things don't go too far when there's good leadership and there's good people involved. And so the motto I've always had, and I was played a lot of footy and then president of footy clubs and so forth before coming to Geelong, was just good people get good results, and just surround yourself with good people. And I just think the more we can do, what we can do here at Joey's is just continue to send good people out into the community to help restrict those cases of that toxic masculinity. And I don't like those words. I don't like the words toxic masculinity, because I don't like the word toxic anything, because I feel like everything just gets slammed. But I do think we can have healthy masculinities with good people doing good things in our community.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Thanks, sir. Thanks for your time.
No worries, Mateo.